in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Exciting week at Google I.O. We are here to tell you what happened. This is episode 44 of Android Buffet. I am Jeremiah Jones, or Jerry Jones, or Jerry, you call me whatever you want. I'm here with my intrepid co-host, the guru himself. How are you this week?
I am chilling. That's the right expression, isn't it? People chill, right?
Maybe you're gelling.
I'm gelling? What sort of gel are you proposing that I have?
I don't know. Some sort of gel that goes in your shoe.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that my sound has improved this week because I've put in a new mount for my microphone.
And tell us about your mount.
It is a scissor mount, which means...
A scissor mount? What is a scissor mount?
Basically, I can pull the microphone back and forth, like so. I can move it away from me, and I can move it towards me. Ooh, back and forth, back and forth. And I can even...
So it looks like a pair of scissors. A bunch of pairs of scissors.
Well, it's spring operated.
Oh. You know, I have seen mirrors mounted on things that look like scissor mounts in some hotels.
Yes, they use those for shaving.
Is that what it's for?
They're called shaving mirrors.
Oh. I never thought of that.
Okay.
So, you're happy with your microphone mount?
Yes.
Now, those scissor mounts, they typically run a couple hundred dollars, right?
Well, the cheapest one I found was $100.
Wow.
I paid...
So you are certainly committed to this whole broadcasting, podcasting thing, right?
No, I paid $14.
We can see that. Oh, you cheap bastard.
I built my own.
What'd you do? Get a desk lamp or something and take the lamp off?
Pretty much, yes. Hackery is fun. I got a $9 lamp at IKEA. I took a... microphone connector, a screw one, and I mounted it to the end of the lamp, and I turned it into a scissor mount.
How did you mount it onto the end of the lamp arm?
Using the hole.
Hole.
Well, that's where the actual lamp was before I cut it off and threw it in the garbage.
Hmm. So no welding or riveting. It just worked out right.
Just a little screwing.
Excellent.
Yes. So it looks nice. I'll have a picture of it for everybody to enjoy. There's still more to do. I have some cabling that just arrived in the mail this evening.
Cabling. Gotta love cabling.
Yes, and I'm going to improve the quality of the podcast even more with these lovely cables from the people at Amazon and Hosa Technology. I've never heard of them, but the price was good.
Excellent. What is this cabling for?
It's quarter-inched RCA.
Wow, quarter-inch RCA? Lots of shielding on that baby, huh?
Yes, as well as the... I also have some heavy-duty RCA cabling here and some heavy-duty quarter-inch cabling here. So my goal is to reduce even further the amount of noise from the computer that gets into the recording. But I haven't installed it yet.
Ah.
And I am hearing some humming on the line from my end. I'll try to have that fixed by next week. If anybody does hear it, I apologize in advance. But I'll do some tests when we're not recording. But let's get to some exciting Google I.O. related news.
Google I.O.
Yes, a few things. We'll just go over a few things from this week. Amazon is maybe working on a family of tablets. Yay.
I noticed that that is distinctly not Google I.O. related.
Yeah, but I'm going in order.
Okay.
We'll get to it. It's down at the bottom. I probably should have put it at the top. let's see. Google News for Mobile is introducing a News Near You feature.
Now, hold on there, Sparky. Let's go back to this Amazon tablets, because this is interesting stuff. They're, now, granted, there's not a whole lot of information out there.
Well, Bezos apparently said stay tuned, which is the closest actual confirmation we've got from the people at Amazon that they're doing anything.
Hmm. So you think these are going to replace the Kindles or just be a supplementary product? A different niche?
A different product. They've been very clear about that up until now. They've said that the purpose of the Kindle is the purpose that we are to use it for. Namely, reading. It is a reading device.
So no hackery of it, like on the Nook is being...
So if Amazon produces a tablet, it will be a tablet.
Mm.
And there will still be a market for the Kindle.
Okay.
And I think that's a good way to approach it. Don't cannibalize your existing business in favor of an uncertain new business. And with a $114 Kindle, it seems that they're doing pretty well in that regard.
Well, they've certainly got the economies of scale in their favor right now.
I won't disagree. Moving along, Google News for mobile introduced news near you. So if you go to news.google.com on your mobile device, it will use your location in order to put a category in for news near you once it figures out where you are.
Well, it should know where I am.
And in a bit of news that'll come back to us a bit later in our program, Google has partnered with several movie studios for YouTube movies and will offer it through the Android market.
And we're going to talk about this later?
Well, it's going to come back later as part of it, because there were some discussions about this at Google I.O.
Oh, okay. Then we'll talk about it then.
Okay. Ice Cream Sandwich.
Ice Cream Sandwich.
Jeez. Which may or may not be 3.1. will offer face recognition. I'm sure it's recognizing your face right now, Jerry.
I'm just thinking, with all the privacy concerns that have been going on with smartphones lately.
Don't you want your phone
to... Is this really a good idea?
Don't you want your phone to know what your face looks like?
You know, it might be an interesting security mode.
Can't disagree with that.
I'm not saying it would be a secure security mode, but it would be an interesting one.
I will not disagree. Moving along, Android 3.1 will offer FLAC support if you are a fan of FLAC, which is a lossless audio codec.
Also open source, correct?
Yes, it is. I'm an OGG guy myself.
Kind of interesting that the support wasn't, considering the roots of Android, kind of interesting that FLAC support hasn't been in there all along.
Well, bear in mind, OGG support has been in there. I use OGG. FLAC is for really hardcore audio enthusiasts. I'm not hardcore enough, I guess.
Okay.
They're going to offer expanding, resizable widgets.
Kind of like, I hope it works out better than it does on the Nook.
You've resized your widgets on the Nook?
Yeah, and all it does is really stretch them.
Yeah, well, hopefully now that it's part of the OS, it'll be a little more fluid. And
in the Nook, I wanted to have a really nice TweetDeck widget, and maybe even have like multiple TweetDeck widgets. For different columns and such, but no, it doesn't work out that way.
But in other news, USB host support will be offered.
Nice. That's for the use of, so we'll be able to plug in keyboards and mice and high-definition webcams.
That sounds like a good idea, regardless of whether it's used by everyone. It seems like having support is good. And are you familiar with the USB on-the-go specification?
No.
Basically, it would allow you to, let's say you have a port on your Nook, which is a standard micro USB charging port. You could get an adapter that would allow you to not only charge it, but simultaneously have it operate in host mode. So you could have a bypass. So one port, but you'd have a bypass in there that would allow you to plug in a keyboard while still allowing for charging.
Hmm. So it would be like a Y?
Yes.
Because normally the host are the... Normally the host provides power, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway. All right.
Interesting. I wonder if we'll be able to plug in hard drives.
Quite possibly. If it's USB host support, I wouldn't be surprised if storage devices were included.
Because I have some hard drives that are just about the same size as my phone, you know, 500 gig and such.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
And, of course, Google TV support, if anybody has a Google TV. Other than Pat Archibald.
I'm sorry. Google TV is, sadly, I don't have a whole lot of faith in it.
Well, you never know. We could be surprised about that, especially if it gets a market that people might actually be able to do something with.
But hey, I'm routinely surprised.
But let's get to some of that surprising stuff from Google I.O.
Okay.
The Open Android Alliance will be founded with the goal of supplying provider updates for 18 months after the release of hardware. So all of the major carriers will be in this alliance, and the alliance will try to get updates out for 18 months after the release of each specific piece of hardware. Of course, your contract is 24 months, but you can't have everything.
Right, but 6 months of no updates is... a lot better than 24 months of no updates.
Well, what if you don't get the phone immediately when it comes out? What if you buy your phone 6 months into it being offered?
Yeah.
Then you only get a year of updates.
I think 18 months of updates is better than we have been receiving.
Yes. And it is a guideline. It's a group. It's a working group. It's not exactly a requirement or a mandate.
I think it would be outstanding. I mean, okay, yeah, maybe 24 months would be better, but I think any commitment to updating the software would be excellent.
I will agree with that as well. Okay, next bit of order on here. Android-compatible low-cost light bulbs.
Now, what in the heck is this?
I'm still a little bit confused, because if you pair that with the next thing on the list, Android at Home, which would be APIs for home automation,
right.
It sounds like they're trying to get Android, or at least Android compatibility, into pretty much any device in your home. Your light can turn on in response to your Android device. So this is the old home automation thing that we keep hearing periodically that doesn't necessarily turn into anything.
I'm still an Android-compatible light bulb?
Yes.
Huh?
The light bulb will be able to turn on in response to a signal from an Android device.
Okay. I don't... Okay. Yahoo!
Moving along. There is... We got through Android at Home, which is home automation. Turn your lights on and off via Android. Turn your stereo on and off. Turn any device on and off. And as an extension at the...
So this is basically Android X10.
Pretty much. And, you know, I had to abandon X10.
Why?
Well, the Powerline protocol kept being unreliable for me, and the stuff would ultimately fail. And replacements were just too expensive consistently.
Hmm.
So let's see if they can make it inexpensive.
At my office, my light / ceiling fan.
Yes.
I don't have one of them fancy houses where you have two different power lines to the ceiling receptacle.
So you wired it an X10 receiver?
Well, no, it's kinda. It's part of the fan. The switch in the wall is an X10 like transmitter, and the fan and such are X10 like receivers, such that even though it's only one line, I can turn on the light and the fan independently.
I have something that still uses X10 in my house. I have a light outside the house,
mm-hmm.
or outside the building, that if you, it's a motion sensor that if you walk past it, it turns on the light on the stoop, but it also turns on the hallway light.
Oh, interesting.
Inside. So when you get inside, you don't fall down the stairs.
Oh, that would be important.
Yes. The open accessory API for USB and Bluetooth devices. So you can interface anything. And this is what it comes down to. Android at Home and open accessory API is interface any device to an Android device. So any company can make accessories. There's a defined API.
So, wow. What could we do with this?
Whatever your mind admires. And
you could, start your car
with an Android
phone. With an Android phone?
Yeah, and if you think about this, if you look at what they're doing, the platform that they're using for this is the Arduino platform, which is already an established hobbyist platform.
They're who?
Arduino.
Arduino? Is that really a name, or are you making that up?
I am not making that up. It's essentially an established electronics hobbyist platform. So it's compatible with something that people already know how to hack into new things. It's a controller architecture.
Mm.
Now, I'm not an electronics expert, but if anybody is an electronics expert and wants to talk about this and Arduino hobbying, feel free to drop us a line.
Interesting.
Then, of course, we have Google Music Beta, invite only, and the associated Google Music App 3.0.
So do you want to talk about this whole ignoring the music industry, or should we just carry on.
How are they ignoring the music industry?
They're doing pretty much like Amazon did, where they didn't ask for any permission. And
why do they need permission? They are storing something on my behalf that I legally own.
Apparently, according to the BMI, if you stream a music, or if you stream music from the cloud to headphones, it counts as a public performance.
How? What performance?
I'm just saying that's, well, you know, BMI is a little
the body the body mass index?
No, they're the they're the people that walk around bars, walk into a bar and write you a bill for the music that you're playing.
Oh.
They're the music mafia, kind of responsible for ensuring royalty compliance.
Okay, then I don't like them. Either way, I'm sure that they can sue anything out of existence if they wish to. That's their business. Either way, it looks nice. I haven't had a chance to try it, as it is invite only. I'm sure eventually somebody will invite me. If there is a Google employee listening, although I seriously doubt there is.
Oh, I'm sure there's at least one listening.
You know a Google employee that listens to this program?
No, I believe that there are people who work at Google who it is their job to keep up on what's going on. You know, it's their job to listen to every single Android podcast that comes out.
That must be a depressing job.
Why? You think it's depressing to listen to our show?
No, listen to every Android podcast.
I bet it's frustrating listening to how much misinformation goes out about a product that you work on.
Yeah, I was just listening to a podcast earlier this afternoon, and I was hearing a lot of incorrect Android facts. Fortunately, it wasn't an Android podcast.
Frustrating, isn't it?
Yes, in fact, I'm thinking of correcting those people.
I would encourage you to do so.
Maybe I will volunteer to be on their program so I can correct them personally. I have to re-listen to the section where they made all the mistakes when I'm not driving an automobile so that I can take notes.
There you go.
Moving along, the Media Transfer Protocol, which will allow applications to receive notifications when external cameras are attached and removed, manage files and storage on those devices, and transfer files and metadata to and from them.
This is going to be really important if you can just plug anything in via USB.
And the Real-Time Transport Protocol, which is an API for audio. Developers can directly manage on-demand or active data streaming for VoIP, push-to-talk, conferencing, and audio streaming. Not very exciting, but what could be done with it may be exciting in the future.
I think its main goal is to limit the... Its main goal is to significantly reduce the latency between audio events and the software being able to react to said events, which is an excellent thing.
Well, speaking of latency and software provider, T-Mobile is going to offer unlimited Wi-Fi calling without using minutes.
Yay!
And you have every other carrier who doesn't offer Wi-Fi calling. Sprint, as far as I know, doesn't.
No, they don't. Not that I'm aware of. So I essentially, mean, not above and beyond the Pheno cells that you can get from pretty much any carrier.
Yeah, but why is it, if my phone is a Wi-Fi device, why can't it, when it has bad reception, why can't it connect to a Wi-Fi network?
I don't know. That would be nice.
And if I connect to that network, why is it I have to pay the same rate as if I was connecting directly to them? You think there'd be a discount? I'm not saying I shouldn't pay them something. Moving along. The Android market added paid app support for 99 additional countries to a total of 131.
You know, at this point, I start wondering, how many countries are there in the world?
More than 131, I believe.
Can't be much more.
Well, you're getting into the countries where paid Android app support is less important.
But like there are, Andorra?
Are you telling me there are no Android users there?
Well, no, I'm saying that Andorra has a has a population of approximately 46.
I'm sure one of them must be an Android user.
Right, but when you're that small, then you could probably connect to a cell phone tower outside the country.
Okay. So there was
Do you know where Andorra is?
Never been there.
That wasn't the question I asked.
I cannot recall off the top of my head. I've never had the pleasure, though.
It's a little bitty country in between Spain and France.
Really?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I mean, never been to Spain or France either.
Itty bitty. Mostly, it's a... Okay, let's be real. It's a banking country.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
I prefer the Caymans
really
myself
old,
for my...
So, I mean, it's not like, you know, some young upstart. It's... And or it's been around for a while.
I keep my secret IRS hidden bank accounts in the Caymans. Thank you very much. I'm kidding. I don't have any secret IRS hidden bank accounts. That would imply I had money.
But... Right?
Yeah. But I did read The Firm, so it balances out somewhere. Some interesting app news this week. The Nook app was updated. So if you wiped your Nook Color in order to get a real tablet, you can now get magazine support using the Android app.
Cool.
The Netflix app was released, and only for certain devices. But you can, of course... hack it to get it working on devices that run Gingerbread if they're rooted. Including the Nook Color. Including the Nook Color, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes, well, what you have to do is convince the Nook Color that it's a Nexus S. Once you do that, your Nook Color will allow you to run the Netflix app, and there is apparently no problem in doing so.
Okay, so it looks like it'll work on the HTC Incredible, the Nexus One, the Evo...
So,
HTC G2.
Do you have a Netflix account, by the way?
I am not a Netflix subscriber.
Are you eligible for one of those free trials?
I am.
Maybe it's time to...
No, I used to have it, but every now and then I get one of those emails.
Come back to us. What do you mean, come back? I had a free month trial, and I never gave you any money. What am I coming back to?
Oh, actually, I was a subscriber to Netflix for a long time.
Well, I'm saying for me, I don't know what they want me to come back to, and they're not even offering me anything. Come back to us. We'll give you a dollar off for the first month. You know, there's nothing really enticing. It's just come back to us and pay us the same amount you didn't pay us before. Moving along, that's actually very exciting. That's been one of the apps that has been holding Android back in terms of adoption from other platforms. Flash 10.3 was released, which include some lovely bug fixes.
Excellent, because Flash on Android certainly does have bugs.
Flash on every platform has bugs. Flash is very insecure inherently, and buggy and slow.
Well, Flash is insecure for two major reasons. Okay. One, it's extremely powerful. And two, it's extremely popular.
Well, I'm also going with it's not the most stable platform even without either of those things. And
well,
I'm not agreeing with Apple that it should be abolished.
Things, nobody would care, and it would not be an attack, so as far as anybody else could tell, it would be secure.
I still like HTML5, but it isn't quite there yet in terms of adoption.
There's some stuff the Flash can do that HTML5 can't.
It'll come. I'll be waiting.
Okay.
The Mog Mobile Music for Android app was updated. If you are a Mog subscriber, good for you. Do you subscribe to Mog or any similar music subscription service?
No.
Neither do I.
I'm not really a heavy music listener. Typically when I'm in the car, I'm listening to podcasts.
Me too of late, but every so often my... phone disengages from my radio, and I'm in the midst of a 3-month trial of XM satellite radio, which I probably won't pay for after the free trial is up. Came with the radio.
If you're in the car a lot, it can be worth it.
Well, yeah, but I'm not in there enough, and I have a good enough music collection.
Yeah.
I have things I haven't listened to yet, including all that banjo music. Anyway, Office Drop was released. It offers an app where you can take pictures of documents and upload them for cloud-based access and optical character recognition. which would be wonderful if you didn't have to pay for a subscription service to use it.
Dude, the money's got to come from somewhere. But on a side note, have you ever tried to take a picture of a document with your phone?
I don't see how that's going to work.
I've tried it before with, we may recall back when I was doing, or I was trying,
you know, fax
services. You know, take a picture of it on your phone and your phone would fax it off. It is incredibly difficult to get a good picture of a document on a cell phone. A good 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
I agree. And that's why I don't think these services will work, but Google Goggles was actually updated, and it's offering business card recognition, which I think is a much more achievable goal.
Oh, absolutely.
Take a picture of a business card, and it'll import the contacts.
Well, a business card is a much smaller target to keep in focus.
Yes, and that's why I
can see that.
I think that will work, whereas I think scanning an entire document with the resolution necessary for OCR may be a bit harder.
Oh, I think the resolution's there without a problem.
No, I'm saying with the clarity would be the better thing because, you know, if you had like a mount or something, you could very easily do it. But who wants to mount their phone for the purpose of OCR? It wouldn't work. You know, OCR with your phone is more of a casual thing or a once in a while thing. It's not something you're going to want to spend your life doing.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's hard to, it's, you know, when you try and take a picture of a flat thing from your camera, every part of the piece of paper is a different distance from the lens. And with the cameras being the quality that they are on cell phones, it's, they don't have that wide of a focal length. So it just, parts, it's about impossible to have the entire page in focus. Or at least that was my experience. And it could entirely be that the camera on the Evo sucks.
I think it is hard no matter what device you're using. In other exciting news, Bluefire Reader is coming to Android. It's a popular EPUB and PDF reader on the iPad. Yay.
Yay.
Again, we'll get back to it when it actually shows up. But it's coming if you're excited. Anime Watch for Android was released, and where you can catch up on your favorite English subtitled shows if you are a fan of anime. Are you a fan of anime, Jerry?
No.
I'm not really either. I have nothing against animation. We've discussed animation on this show. I have yet to find a piece of anime that I could get truly behind in terms of the writing and storyline.
I haven't even tried.
No, I have friends who are big fans of anime, and I can sit there and listen to them explain to me about aqua transsexualism.
Yeah, right.
I still haven't figured that one out.
Yeah, the anime was big in Japan while I was stationed over there, and I could just never really get into it. I mean, granted, some of my friends and coworkers and shipmates did get into anime.
It's the plots that I don't get. It's not that I have anything against animation. I like cartoons in theory.
Watch cartoons regularly.
Yeah, it's just that the storylines just didn't appeal to me. And I honestly do not know, you know, if anybody has a piece of animation that would appeal to me. And I tried. A few years ago, I was at a science fiction convention. This was probably it's actually been almost 15 years now. And they were having showings of various programs. So I went from room to room looking to a program that didn't seem stupid to me. And most of the ones did. And I'm sure that I'm legitimately open-minded about this. I am looking for something that would entertain me. But so far, I haven't found it. I admit I haven't looked that hard. But I've listened to other people tell me about programs they think I should watch. But they've said that they do the same thing with, you know, live action programs, and not all of them appeal to me. But moving along from my anime rant,
it's just you know, a Japanese person is not, by and large, not a weird person. But there's some weird stuff that comes from that island.
I think there are weird things that come from every island.
Yeah.
Did you know I live on an island, Jerry?
And you haven't left yet, so weird things haven't left from your island.
There are many weird things on my island.
I just...
You don't live on an island. You don't understand.
I think we all live on islands.
Figuratively speaking, I will agree with that. And on my island...
Anime's not my thing.
Not my thing either. But I am not against enjoying anime should an anime come along that I might enjoy.
But I'm also not real up on the difference between manga and anime, so I
may be... Oh, that I can explain to you.
Okay.
Manga would be essentially graphic novels. So that's Japanese anime in graphic novel form. I may not be up on anime, but I am certainly up on books. And I know what...
Okay, so manga is...
Graphic novels of anime.
And when you say graphic novels, you mean comic books.
In book form. Essentially, a comic book would be a thin item. If you took five comic books and put them into it and bound them together, that's a graphic novel.
Okay, so my real exposure is actually to manga.
Yes.
Okay.
Although I'm told by comic book publishers who I've spoken to that the big money is in graphic novels. After they've finished, you know, the actual comic books, putting a bunch of them together and selling a novel apparently is very lucrative.
I know the bookstores are full of them over in Japan.
Here too, actually. Have you ever been to a bookstore and looked in the graphic novel section?
No.
I remember on The Consumerist seeing a notation from when Borders was closing a bunch of stores a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. Somebody had put up a sign, manga so cheap you don't have to steal it anymore, for their closeout sale.
That's funny.
But moving along, the TripIt app was updated. It supports creating, editing, deleting trips and plans, and some new widgets. So if you travel regularly, you may want to use it. And if you don't, you might not. I'm going to have to try out some of these travel apps. I have to go somewhere first, but I should try out travel apps.
Yes, you would have to leave your island.
Well, I do have that trip to South Carolina scheduled for next month. I don't think I may leave my island before then, but I don't think I would be leaving my island on a trip with an itinerary.
Hmm.
If I leave my island before then, it will be on a bridge. We do have a bridge, you know. It takes us to another island.
Wait. You know what? I think I do live on an island.
Really?
I cannot get anywhere without crossing a bridge that goes over water.
Would that be an island or a river?
Well, if a part of it is a river and it splits off. Huh, I think I may live on an island.
You're going to have to look into this. Next time on Android Buffet, we'll have a cliffhanger. Jerry reveals whether or not he lives on an island.
What was last week's cliffhanger?
What might his island be called?
No, seriously. We had a cliffhanger last week.
We did?
Yeah, you did the whole cliffhanger thing again.
I thought that was for flying bathtubs.
Oh.
That's a monthly cliffhanger.
Oh, what was the monthly cliffhanger?
I thought it was about your Linux use.
Oh.
By the way, if no one has checked out this month's edition of Flying Bathtubs, this month we talk about what would happen if Jerry lived much longer than Jerry is likely to live. So if Jerry had a lifespan of 1,000 years.
Not just me, but everybody.
Yes. And we discuss Jerry's flirtation with Linux.
It's an exploration. Let's not call it a flirtation.
Okay.
Only once, and I was drunk at the time, okay?
Yes. Jerry is open source curious. Moving
now,
on.
If you, it's probably a good show if you're completely unexposed to Linux, but you've looked at it, or you're not completely unexposed, but you've looked at it and you just don't get it, because that's kind of where I am, and my intrepid co-host does try to explain some things to me. And
how will we top that next month?
How about we not do that again.
Okay.
I don't know. It's probably going to be one of our drier episodes.
Well, I'm saying the next episode we'll have to figure out how we can top it and talk about a new and exciting topic. Not that it wasn't exciting and fascinating.
All right.
Yahoo Fantasy Baseball app was released. So if you are a fantasy baseball player on Yahoo, you could use this app. The Expedia Hotels for Android app was released. You can search and book hotels from your phone. See, what I have to do is search and book a hotel and then cancel it immediately. Just to see what it would be like. Maybe I'll book a hotel in Alaska, a place that I'm not planning on going anytime soon. Sorry, people who live in Alaska. It's nothing personal. I just don't have plans to be there in the near future.
Okay, for the next one, I have a title.
Okay. Would you like
to take
that?
Title is Hypochondriacs Rejoice!
Yes, WebMD for Android is released. So now you can go and use your symptom checker to figure out whether or not you have hantavirus. Or perhaps you have a case of Marburg.
Rare and unusual disease so that you can torture your doctor.
Okay. But Jerry, have you ever come down with a case of Marburg?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. How about the Motaba virus?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, that would be harder.
Although I did just spend a large portion of Sunday at the zoo where there were monkeys.
Okay, well, I believe Motaba was the one from the movie Outbreak.
And came from a monkey.
Yes. Marburg actually is a real disease. I believe it kills 1 in 10. It's a hemorrhagic disease.
Okay, so it makes you bleed.
Yes, you know, there are all sorts of fun diseases like that that they like to put in horror movies, such as Korean hemorrhagic fever, Marburg, Ebola, all the various types of Ebola. I have to stop watching those bio movies.
Yeah, well, and now you don't need them because you can have a copy of WebMD.
I don't think I'll install that. I'm paranoid enough. I am going to see my doctor tomorrow.
Oh. You should install it and come and try to find the most obscure diseases you can find that matches your symptoms.
What symptoms? Is my eye doctor?
Whatever symptoms you have.
I need a new prescription.
Well, whatever the prescription's for, try and come up with the most obscure disease.
I need a new prescription for eyeglasses. This is my eye doctor.
Well, you know, there are things that go wrong with your eyes.
Yes, I do actually have an optical disorder. It's actually one that I believe one of the people over at Android... What's that show? Android App Addicts?
Okay.
Also happened to have the classic symptoms of, which is meibomian blepharitis.
Are you sure you haven't installed WebMD?
No. That's essentially if I'm not an expert on this, but as it was explained to me, that would be when dandruff gets into the areas around your eyes and clogs up your meibomian glands, which apparently produce oil which lubricates your eyes, thus creating a large feeling of dry eye. The standard non-medical therapy is to steam your eyes regularly for at least 5 to 10 minutes a day using a warm washcloth until you have steamed open these glands so that they're able to provide moisture to your eyes.
Interesting.
And that was, of course, A Minute with Dr. Guru. I don't have a doctorate, though. Would that make me Master Guru? I do have a master's degree, so would I be Master Guru? No.
Kind of redundant, wouldn't you say?
Quite possibly. Sir Guru? All right. Well, I haven't been knighted.
Come on.
Magistrate?
Adobe.
Adobe PDF Creator is offering PDF creation for $9.99, which is actually cheaper than pretty much any Adobe PDF software you can get for any other system, including the web-based PDF Creator, which I believe is a subscription model.
And considering Adobe's historical high quality of code, you know you want that on your phone.
Maybe you want it on your Nook Color.
No.
Zipcar, its app is now in the market. It's out of its more limited beta. See, I would find a Zipcar just so that I could use my phone to turn on the ignition in a car. That just sounds amusing. QuickOffice Pro was being offered last
week. Now, hold on. We didn't talk about what a Zipcar is.
Okay, Zipcar is a car rental program by which if you need a car for a few hours in a city, if you happen to be part of the Zipcar service, you would be able to take the car and then return it. So essentially, it's very popular for people who will occasionally need cars in large urban areas.
So where do these cars come from?
From Zipcar.
It's a company.
Yes.
And you rent the car by the hour.
So to speak, yes.
So it's kind of somewhere, it's like a taxi without the driver.
A little less specific, but that you get the basic gist of it, yes.
Well, I don't think they have that in Jacksonville.
They might not, but it is popular in various cities. QuickOffice Pro is being offered in the Amazon App Store for $2.99. Sorry you missed that by now. It's now $4.99. But that's still less than the $9.99 you'd pay for it in the Android market. So if you need your very own document, word processor, office suite, what have you, maybe you want to spend the $5. At some point I have to get around to reviewing some of these office apps. Because I have Google Docs, and there's this, and there's a few other things.
Have fun with that.
Well, I have a keyboard for the Nook Color. I might as well figure out how to type on it. The Watch ESPN Now app, which is restricted to certain cable providers, is now being offered. Are you an ESPN fan, Jerry?
No.
Okay, neither am I.
I am one they're playing the Cowboys, but other than that, no.
Okay, well, I am not a sports person, so I will decline to review that. But if anybody feels the need to send us a review, we'll, of course, listen to it. The Al Jazeera app is now available. So if you want to follow Al Jazeera, try their app. I don't really have very much to say about that. They do have a good reputation of late. They became very prominent during the entire Egyptian situation recently, where they were very much commended for their reporting. So if you want to have their reporting, you know, I try not to take a stance on the various news networks. I am admittedly a little annoyed with Fox News, and that's mostly because they say they're fair and balanced. If they said they were a conservative news network, I would not complain in the slightest. I just feel that saying that you're fair and balanced when you so obviously have a slant, regardless of what I think of the slant, just seems unfair. Why don't you just say Fox News for conservatives, the conservative point of view on the news? Do you have any thoughts on that, Jerry?
I don't watch the news. So,
well, I keep watching it at the gym. I'm actually very happy I'm no longer going to the gym at night, because now I don't have to watch Glenn Beck while I'm exercising.
I don't even know who that is, but it sure sounds funny.
Well, let's see. Regardless, again, of what I think of Fox News, I will say that I think that Glenn Beck, if he is not a nut, is playing one on TV. Trust me, if you see any of his extended rants, he's just... Anyway. That's my little rant. I think Glenn Beck is either nuts or pretending to be for ratings. But considering I believe he's been canceled, that didn't work for very long.
Man, have you seen the TV shows that are getting canceled?
Well, yes. Did any of your favorite shows get canceled?
Yeah, I liked Human Target.
So did I. It was a very good show. Mark Valley hasn't been doing very well lately.
What's the other? Oh, Breaking In.
Also canceled.
It's been canceled and then renewed and then canceled and maybe it's getting renewed again.
Well, it has to die. It has Christian Slater in it.
Right.
He doesn't really have a good track record of late. Not that I have a problem with him.
Who's the other guy? The guy that, basically the main character.
What is that guy's name?
He played in Reaper.
I just don't remember the actor's name.
But he has a hard time keeping his show, and I really enjoy just about any show he's been in.
Well, see, that's an interesting question. Is it because of the actors or just the choices they make? Or is it just no fault of their own? Sometimes shows, you know, get canceled despite that, you know.
Brett Harrison.
I'm not going to answer that. You know how long it's been since somebody's called during one of these programs?
No.
I wonder who that is.
Maybe it's Ed McMahon.
Probably not. Should I answer it?
Sure. See what it is. Maybe it's your mom. Hold. And then you feel really bad.
Okay, I missed the call. They'll call back. And yes, it was my mother. But, yes.
Now, don't you feel bad?
No. I spoke to her this morning.
Okay.
No, I didn't. She didn't answer this morning. I usually speak to her at least once a day. I'm a good son.
I really enjoyed Chaos on CBS.
Did they cancel that?
Yeah, they canceled it. And you had...
How many episodes? I only saw two before.
I think they put out four episodes.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
And yet some things just linger on the air for years.
Yeah, right?
So what show... See. Well, here's the question. What show are you surprised has lasted for years on end?
I don't watch any of them.
No, I didn't say you watched them. I said what show surprises you that it continues to persist?
I don't know. You know they canceled the William Shatner show.
Was anybody surprised about that?
I don't know.
Maybe William Shatner, but
I'm surprised they canceled V. I thought that was a great show.
I couldn't get into V. I tried. It just seemed. I watched it for a couple of episodes. I just couldn't get emotionally involved.
I really. Really liked it. I think what I'm seeing is shows that are cheap don't need a really big audience to keep them on the air. But V was probably a very expensive show, so it had to have a huge audience. Same thing with Stargate Universe.
Well, that's disappointing because, and I saw what it was that the Sci-Fi Channel publicly said about it when fans started to complain.
Which was?
Put out a post online where they were commenting on it and put out some of the numbers and said, we supported the show. We tried our best to support the show. But the numbers just kept dropping. And if not enough people watched the show, then we couldn't keep the show. We didn't set it up to fail. We didn't move it. We moved it around to actually try to help it. We didn't move it around to try to alienate the audience, but it could not get a permanent viewership. And
Also be honest. It started out bad.
Well, I thought the premise had potential, but I thought that they really didn't, you know, get into it the way that I would have. The premise of the show was you have a bunch of people on a ship that needs stuff with limited control. And you didn't really focus on the issues of these characters trying to figure out ways to survive based on the conditions that were set up.
Well, there were only two people that could figure out how to survive. Everybody else, it was all infighting.
Well, you expect infighting. That's drama for you. You expect
the Yeah, but I don't want infighting. I want...
character building.
It's Stargate. There should be bad guys. And the bad guys should not be your crewmates.
Well, I thought that the idea early on where they started exploring things that you don't see often enough on these shows, which was they needed raw materials so that they could have air. They needed to figure out food. I thought, you know, addressing those issues. I used to watch Star Trek. Have you ever watched Star Trek, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. We'll just use the Next Generation example. On Next Generation, you know, life support was about to fail. They were in a battle. Life support is set to fail. They're losing power. And yet, oddly enough, artificial gravity continues to work. Mostly because it was not cost-effective to have everybody floating around. But if you think about that for a second, it always seemed that eventually everything was supposed to fail, but yet, you know, the thing that you would figure would be the first thing to fail, or that they'd turn off to save power, seemed to be the thing that they never lost.
I think you're overthinking it.
Well, I thought that, you know, Stargate Universe had this great concept where the characters actually had a life and death situation that was looming every week that wasn't who's trying to kill them. It was, we're struggling against the failing ship, we're struggling to survive, and simultaneously, you know, maybe you want the occasional action. In addition to that, somebody wants to kill us. But I thought they started focusing on all these things that distracted from the we're trying to survive and figure out how to do so. While having,
I know,
amazing
for the
adventures.
First half a dozen episodes, I skipped through a large portion of the show.
And that is why the show didn't succeed. It's all your fault, Jerry.
Well,
I'm kidding.
It was boring. I don't...
Yeah, what I'm saying is that I thought they took the wrong approach, because you need to mix in action. But you also, they were trying to do something a little different by having a bit more drama. And the drama that they had was not the drama in quotation marks, as opposed to what I'm referring to.
No, I understand. I just... It got much better towards the end. I think largely because they figured some of the ship out so they could... You know, they weren't just out helpless. And there were bad guys.
Who? Faceless drones?
Yeah, those are bad guys.
And again, I think there need to be bad guys, but I also think there need to be struggles to overcome.
And I think if the show would have gone on, I think you would have found out that it was the crew of the Destiny and their descendants that created the drones that were trying to kill them.
You were thinking that too?
Oh yeah, once you say you've gone back 2,000 years and yeah. After you do that, everything that happens in that universe is your own fault.
Okay.
And my...
I want to travel back in time and become the patron saint of wisdom. That seems like that seems like a good thing to do. Travel back in time, teach people all of my wisdom and become revered throughout the ages.
Yep.
Maybe they'll name a school after me.
Maybe. I like Eli.
I thought it was a good character. As I said, I thought that the differing personalities that they started to create with characters, that they put together a good collection of disparate personalities. But ultimately, they didn't take it where I'd hoped they'd take it. So now the show is gone. Although I did miss that last episode, so don't spoil it for me.
They certainly left the last episode in a way that, should they so choose...
Well, they could do a made-for-TV movie.
They could bring the series back.
Always good. But they did do those less-than-successful Stargate movies.
What are you talking about? They were awesome.
No, I'm saying, I gathered they were not as financially lucrative as...
Of course not. They tried to shove an entire season into 3 hours.
I just don't understand the, let's temporarily change the entire universe so we can set up an amusing situation, and by the end, let's change it back. How many times can you do that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wasn't that the second movie? Let's change the entire universe, erase everything that happened, and then at the end, let's put it back the way it was.
They've done that a couple times.
I know. I don't get that as a plot point. I also don't get the 2009 Star Trek movie, but I was complaining about that last week, so I won't complain about that again.
Is it a reboot? Star Trek, the reboot?
Yes, I also don't get where Stargate, where they would, let's reboot things for one episode and then put it back the way it was. It's occasionally fun as a one-off, but how many times can you do it?
No, they didn't do it that often. More often than not, it was a...
Once a season? Yes, let's once a season, let's destroy the universe and put it back the way it was.
Yeah, Oops, we screwed the pooch. Now we need to fix it.
Okay. I still thought that, you know, they didn't go in an interesting direction with that, that they spent more time on the setup than on the solution.
Time travel as a plot device.
I like time travel.
It's tricky.
But I like it as a plot device.
I think the only time I've really been annoyed with the use of time travel as a plot device.
Yes.
Was the series finale of Star Trek Voyager.
I'll agree on that.
That's just taking the cheap way out.
I'll agree with that as well. I would have just left them out there for another 20 years.
Well,
where's the Deep Space Nine movie and the Voyager movie, by the way? Where's the Deep Space Nine and the Voyager movie? They had plenty of Next Generation movies. Let's go back and reboot everything when we have this perfectly good franchise people would pay money to see movies of.
You know, speaking of what... You were telling me one time that often you'll watch an old show and you'll see actors and think, oh, that's... And you'll recognize an actor that you know now that you did not know when it was new.
Yes.
I don't know why, was watching Supergirl. You remember that movie?
Yes, I remember that movie. I don't really like that movie that much.
It was not a great movie. But Supergirl was the girl from Secret of My Success, Helen Slater. I did not know that.
I happen to like that movie.
Secret of My Success is one of my all-time favorite movies.
And that was the one with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. And his girlfriend in that movie is Supergirl.
I'm sure he thought so.
And do you remember the guy that played Max Headroom?
Matt Furrer?
You're
going to say you spotted him on Eureka, or you spotted him in the Monty Python Meaning of Life prequel movie, with the Crimson Assurance?
No, he's in Supergirl.
Is he in Supergirl?
Yeah, he's one of the truckers that tries to molest Supergirl.
I remember that. I totally forgotten about that.
But I just thought it was amusing.
But I enjoy him in the Monty Python movie, which is one of his earlier credited roles. He plays a guy who jumps out a window. Have you ever seen Monty Python's Meaning of Life?
I mean, I don't think so.
Well, there's a prequel movie right before it, which is sort of like a little mini movie about accounting firm that turns into a bunch of pirates.
Oh, this just seems awesome. What is the name of that?
It's always shown as part of the Meaning of Life. I believe by itself it's the Crimson Permanent Assurance. But at one point, when they are attacking, they attack an American corporation.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who panics and jumps out the window and happens to be Matt Furrer, who's also known for Max Headroom. He's also a returning character on Eureka, if you've ever watched that show. And he's done a bunch of other things.
He's a crazy guy.
Yes.
He's
done a lot of really amusing things over the years. He was also on Star Trek The Next Generation, playing a time traveler, no less.
Definitely. Oh, yes. The guy that, yep.
Rasmussen, I believe his name was.
I don't remember his name, but I certainly remember the episode.
Yes. He stole stuff.
Yep. Including the time machine itself.
See, time travel is fun, if done correctly.
I agree. Like I say, about the only time I've ever really been annoyed was that cheap way at the end of Star Trek Voyager.
Well, I was always a big fan of Back to the Future as a time travel.
You know, they did it in Harry Potter as well.
I'm not a big Harry Potter fan.
I'm not either, but when I was really upset at having lost my job and was having a hard time concentrating, I watched all the Harry Potter episodes.
Oh, I went to see the greatest movie ever sold.
Is that the name of the movie?
The full name of the movie is Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold. It's a documentary by Morgan Spurlock about product placement, which was funded entirely by product placement. And there was something of an embarrassing situation when I went to see the movie on Thursday.
Oh, and what was that?
Well, you know, I went
to
see...
Did you go and see a different movie?
No. They sent me into a different movie. I went and told them I want to see the greatest movie ever sold. They gave me a ticket. I went to the theater. I sat there for half an hour thinking I got the time wrong, being the pretty much the only person in the theater. And then the movie starts, and it's a Disney movie called Prom. To which, when I exited the theater, the ticket taker said he thought it was odd that there was some guy coming in the morning alone to see Prom. The guy who sold me the ticket admitted, no, I had not purchased Prom. On a positive note, I got a free ticket to see the movie I wished to see, and I got my $6 back. But I had to sit through 5 seconds of Prom, and I will never get those 5 seconds in the 30 minutes I waited for the movie to start back. I'm sorry, Disney. I didn't like Prom. But being as I am a Disney shareholder, everybody else go see Prom. Give Disney a lot of money. I could use that 40-cent dividend. Don't have a lot of Disney. I do not only own any Google stock. Because I believe that, you know, as a, I'll call myself a sort of journalist, that I shouldn't own any stock in Google. Also, I can't afford it. But...
Right.
I, in the interest of full disclosure, I do own stock. Okay. I'm sure the FTC requires me to disclose that.
Yeah, whatever.
But I don't push any products that I am an owner of. I wish I owned a lot of stuff, but we'll get to that another day. But I hope everybody's enjoyed our diversion into time travel as it relates to Android.
Or not. Just because we have a Flying Bathtubs podcast doesn't stop us from going off the rails here.
Yes. That's just an excuse for us to not actually get on the rails.
I thought we did. We were pretty well focused this episode.
Yes. And I have some... I'm going to close with an Android thought. Yesterday, during an update to my ROM, my phone ceased to work. So I had to do a factory reset. I have become incredibly adept at restoring all of the settings on my phone without using a program in a short amount of time.
Cool.
I haven't figured out if this is sad, which means I've essentially had to do a factory restart much more often than I think. But I've gotten it down to a science.
Oh, speaking of which, you know what we didn't talk about?
What didn't we talk about?
I moved my phone over to Google Voice. My Sprint phone number.
Let's take a moment before we leave and tell me all about it.
Basically, here are the changes that I notice. When I miss a phone call and somebody leaves a message, I get an email saying with a transcript. And when somebody calls me, it rings my house and here. And... the only other really annoying thing, the only annoying thing was that SMS messages showed up in the Google Voice app, not hand sent. Which, with my wife being in a foreign country, was particularly annoying because you cannot send international text messages with Google Voice. So I couldn't reply to her messages. I had to go to handset and start up a whole new conversation. To fix that, you basically log into Google Voice on a web browser and go to your settings, phone, and edit your mobile phone, and then put a check mark in the box that says receive SMS messages at this phone. But other than that, I really haven't noticed a difference.
It's still the thought that counts.
Well, I mean, it's great. I mean...
Well, the question is
I like the fact that if somebody calls... If I'm here at home and somebody calls and my phone and the house phone ring, I know it's a Google Voice phone. So I just pick up the house phone because the quality's better. You know, reception here at the house kind of sucks. And that's nice.
Yep. And again, the best things are things that you don't have to notice. That just work.
Yep.
So I will do the closing today. I think it all works right. Better sometimes.
High Tech Podcast.
Yes. If you are interested in contacting us, you can reach us at podcast@androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. Why don't you send us a voicemail? We haven't heard one in such a long time, and we'd love to hear from you. Be as creative as possible. You could even sing into the phone if you'd like. And that would be at 1-201-2-WENICA. If you want to contact us individually, we can be reached at Jerry_Jones or at Gadget Wisdom. I, of course, run the Gadget Wisdom website at gadgetwisdom.com, where you can find interesting things when I have time to write them. Sorry, at the moment, no one else is writing. They've all abandoned me. Jerry, of course, is often writing exciting software such as Show Analyzer, and you could find that at dragonglobal.biz. We, of course, are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, as well as a project of the Wenica Media Group. The Tech Podcast Network is also the home of many other fine and quality programs, including the Audacity to Podcast at theaudacitytopodcast.com, which is a how-to podcast about podcasting and using Audacity, which is a free open source audio editing software that I use to edit this show. This week on the Audacity to Podcast, 5 steps to an effective podcasting website.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yes. Last week was 3 ways to record multiple on-site podcast hosts.
Ooh. Now you know what it really needs?
What?
A way to record into separate tracks, multiple Skype hosts.
It's technically doable, but you need multiple Skype instances.
Yeah.
Skype itself is not set up for recording each track separately.
I know.
Yes.
But doesn't make it any less annoying.
But they've had other recent interesting episodes, how to apply special effects, truth about iTunes subscriptions, and so on. So if you
sounds like a really cool podcast.
Yes, and that's part of the Tech Podcast Network, where you can find many additional family-friendly shows. And
are we supposed to be family-friendly?
Aren't we?
Well, you know, sometimes my language gets a little, you know.
Well, not your language. By inference, occasionally we're a bit off, but I don't think we don't curse up a blue streak or anything. We're reasonably family friendly.
I don't know if I would like my, you know, 4-year-old listening to a podcast where they mention screwed the pooch.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that that's a non-family friendly statement. It's an expression.
Okay.
So that brings us to the end of our program. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
I always enjoy it. If I didn't enjoy this program, I wouldn't spend so much time with you, Jerry.
Oh.
And that's impressive. That's impressive considering we've never actually been in the same room together.
Or the same state.
Oh, we've been in the same state.
We have?
I've been to Florida.
Oh.
I've never been to Jackson.
You noticed my tweet about when I was going by Fort Lauderdale, right?
Oh, did you tweet when you were going by Fort Lauderdale?
I did.
You waved hi to my mother?
I said, I'm now passing Fort Lauderdale and waving in its general direction.
Okay. Did you stop by that deli I recommended?
No, dude. The deli's on the other side of Florida. I'm going down the east coast of Florida. Boca Raton is like in the middle of a middle or east or western coast.
It's a good deli. They have a bunch of them in New York. They opened up one in Florida.
It was way too far out of the way.
Well, they are working on opening one closer to Fort Lauderdale, but apparently it's cut up in politics.
Isn't everything?
Unfortunately, yes. But if it opens up, I'll be sure to tell you.
All right.
We can enjoy some traditional food.
Well, it depends on your definition of traditional.
How about a hero?
An all-American hero?
No, an Israeli hero.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a sandwich. It's a big sandwich.
I have no problems with big sandwiches.
Okay. Also, you said you were going to Boston?
June 1st through the 3rd.
I know a good deli there.
I don't know if I'll have wheels up there.
Oh, it's on a public transportation line. It's only a block away from the T. What they have is you can something called creative eating. It's what you can get is a sandwich where instead of bread, your meat is sandwiched in between two potato pancakes.
That certainly would be creative.
Yes. They've offered to follow me on Twitter. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. We will see you next week, and I think there's a slight audio hum on my line. I will try to get it fixed for next week.
All right, folks. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
We have a bat?
I wonder if that's copyrighted, trademarked, or whatever.
Well, we're not referring to an animal. We're referring to an actual bat. So unless we get...
We're not referring to a superhero. We're referring to an actual animal.
No, I thought we were...
Because I just went to the zoo.
I thought we were referring to a bat, you know, a thing you swing.
Oh.
Unless we get sued by Major League Baseball.
You can get sued by anybody for anything these days.
Depressing, isn't it?
It is.
On that note, Android is a registered trademark of Google. We have no official affiliation with Google, with the Android Open Source Project, or any related organization we may report on. Our opinions are our own, are not the opinions of any organization we may represent. Copyright 2011, all rights reserved.
All right.
Au revoir.
Adios, chicos y chicas.